This is Liz Barker
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, hopefully, I have got the very epic Dan Smith on the phone. Let's see. Dan, are you there? Hello.
I'm there. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to talk to you. Now, I have been hearing all about Paddle of Britain. You are a record breaker. Yeah. It's quite something that you undertook. I mean, you are obviously an army veteran, and this was something very close to your heart. You said you wanted to do a big challenge for a long time, and this felt like the right time and the right reason. Now, you successfully completed it about 10 days ago by crossing
the finishing line
at Littlehampton Harbour in West Sussex. How did that feel?
Oh, it was just amazing to finish it, you know. The weather was perfect, and just covering that epic distance. And just to finally get to the end, which didn't really feel like I was going to do, you know, sort of one week in. Just amazing, yeah.
Now, it took 53 days. The longest day you spent paddling in the kayak was nearly 14 hours. And the most miles you covered in one day was about 33 miles between Reading and Windsor. I mean, how sore were you on those days? And mentally, how did you get through it?
Because it was later on in the challenge, I was obviously quite fatigued anyway. But I knew I had to get some big days in to get to my sort of target finish date. So, yeah, I felt, you know, the sciatica was getting worse. Obviously, sitting down for long periods of time, the sciatica was getting worse and obviously some shoulder pains and things. But obviously, the adrenaline kept me going and the thought of being closer to the finish just, you know, spurred me on.
And now, obviously, at night, you didn't get, like, a nice massage and a comfy night stay in a B&B, did you? Because,
Not every night.
I mean, you were doing this wild camping and dragging your kayak about 200 miles between, you know, waterways.
That's right.
So you were completely on your own. You were completely solo.
Well, pretty much. Well, yeah, solo as far as the challenge goes. Getting myself, the kayak and all the gear from the top of Scotland all the way to the bottom is all under my own steam. I had a resupply every sort of 7 days where we made food bags up because I couldn't carry, you know, 53 days worth of food. It just wouldn't be possible. So we worked out every 7 days, pick up a food bag from a friend, and that was the sort of support I had. And it was isolated at the top, you know, top of Scotland, sort of going through Scotland, and then obviously getting into more built-up areas, I saw more people.
Yeah, it must have been. It must have been quite interesting to see the different landscapes, and you must have encountered some amazing wildlife, and just, you know, some
absolutely the contrasts were amazing. Yeah. You know, from the Highlands of Scotland, and then from Scotland going into Glasgow, so on the Forth and Clyde Canal, very different. You know, and then into the Lake District again, so we had the mountains again. And then onto the canals again. So it was a real contrast. You know, every waterway was different, which made it really interesting.
Yeah, and it must have been beautiful. You must have seen some stunning parts of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, getting up on a morning, you know, that's the best time. 6 o'clock, sort of 6:30, and that's when you see the wildlife and you're at that water level as well, so you see so much more.
And you have got some brilliant photos of your adventure online, which I'll tell people about in a bit. But now you had a nickname for your kayak, didn't you?
Yeah, Tommy. Tommy the kayak. You know, you've got to give every sort of vessel a name. And I think traditionally it is a woman's name, isn't it? But I just thought I'll put a little competition out there on Facebook and for names, and the name Tommy just kept coming back, which is obviously relevant to World War One. So I think in that era, when all these recruits were getting enlisted into the army, they were nicknamed Toms or Tommies. And they still are today, actually, in infantry units. So I just thought it was a really fitting name.
Yeah. So was there any dangerous bits? Was there any point where you thought either I can't go on or you're nearly capsized or anything kind of slightly dodgy happen?
Yeah, I knew there was going to be risky parts. And you just got to try your best to have, you know, make good judgment calls. And have you know, control measures in the best way you can. Don't make any silly decisions. I mean, there was a few exposed points where I had to make big crossings of locks and big waterways, and some of these locks were tidal. There was a point where the wind changed, the tide was against me a bit, and I felt really unstable. But you just got to focus and just think of worst case scenarios every time, you know, and just keep your head. And that's what you need, and just try your best to get to the other side, and some steep hills and busy roads. You know, I had to pull the kayak along some roads. And that was probably the most dangerous part. Yeah. You know, getting across some of those roads and the borders. You've got fast-moving traffic, big logging wagons coming past you.
Oh, my goodness.
But that was the only way across, you know, so that was dangerous as well.
Goodness me. I mean, were other boats kind of okay on the water? Were you getting support? Did you, or people just
it's
kind of...
It's funny you should say that, actually. So going up places like Loch Ness and Loch Lomond and Windermere, all the big waterways, you've got these big touring boats where people get on and they go sightseeing, try and see Nessie. And when these boats come past you, they can create a big wave.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, so you've got to get the right angle for those, but it can be quite good fun.
Suddenly find yourself down some rapids.
Now,
you obviously are... I mean, this has never been done before, has it? It has never been done before.
No,
so you
it hasn't.
Are the first
inland, that's
to
a challenge, you know, to kayak inland from the top to the bottom.
Amazing. And at like nearly 1,000 miles. And you're the first person, the only person to have ever done it. How does that feel?
Yes, feels amazing. Yeah. It really does. And I think that Sir Ranulph Fiennes once said, you know, it's getting harder and harder for the younger generation these days to find firsts, you know, stuff that hasn't been done before. So I'm really chuffed with that nobody's come forward and said they've done it. That's a great feeling.
Now, you're obviously very physically, mentally fit. I mean, you're a former Army sergeant who served in the Royal Artillery for 10 years. You've done tours of Afghanistan, Northern Ireland. So the Royal British Legion is obviously really close to your heart as a charity. And it was also a personal thank you, wasn't it? Tell us a bit about why you wanted to do this for them.
I just think remembrance is so important, you know, and especially as the generations go on. We need to remember, you know, those huge sacrifices that those people made for what we've got today. You know, and that's another important thing to think. You know, would it have been different had those people not gave the ultimate sacrifice? Yes, it probably would be. So I think it is really important to remember, definitely. And that's, for me, you know, that was the reason why I'd done the challenge.
Mm. Now, you wanted to raise over £25,000, if you could. How much have you raised so far?
The last time I looked, it was $16,500.
Brilliant.
We've got some offline donations to put on there as well. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to have an auction where I will be auctioning off Tommy and some of the kayak kit that we used. So hopefully that will bump it all up as well.
Yeah.
So the Just Giving page is still open. You can find that on the Paddle of Britain website, paddleofbritain.com.
Brilliant.
And we're hoping to reach that 25,000 mark by Armistice Day, if not before.
Yeah, because, of course, it is the anniversary of the First World War, 100 years ago when it finished. You know, it's a big thing, isn't it? And like
it
you
is,
said, there's no one really around anymore who sort of was part of that.
No, I think they've all gone, you know.
It is a very special anniversary. And,
very special.
I think you're going to do it. I think you're going to raise that amount. And like you say, people can still give. I will give the details again afterwards. So.
Awesome.
Who's going to end up with Tommy? Are you sad to part from Tommy? Or are you quite glad to see the back?
I don't know. It's mixed feelings. Yeah. I think someone's already put an offline bid in already. Yeah. So, but you know, it's the only kayak to have done that journey.
Yeah.
So it's got a bit of nostalgia already.
So. Now, your wife and two children, they must have missed you terribly over the 2 months. I mean, were you in contact with them at all? Did you have...
Yeah, you know, most days I would check in, just let them know I'm okay. You know, they can also follow the tracker which we had, so that was nice for them to just keep an eye on me.
Yeah.
But they also gave me a couple of surprise visits during the trip as well, so that was lovely.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah, because it must be weird not seeing people for kind of days and days. And
I mean, but at the same time, you know, I kind of wanted that solace.
Yeah.
That was another element of it I really wanted, and I got it, you know, in some of the most amazing places, waking up, you know, wild camping on the shores of Loch Ness, waking up.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Did you get some terrible weather? I mean, was it, because you set off in August, didn't you? Was it okay? Because we've been quite lucky this year,
I mean, in Scotland, anything can happen, any time of the year. Just before I actually set off on the Kyle of Durness, it was lovely and calm, and then... literally got into the kayak and the wind just picked up, and I think we had about 40 mile an hour winds, headwinds.
Oh my goodness.
And I was kind of thinking, you know, this is on the cusp of sort of not being able to do, you know. But anyway, I got in and I powered on and I got through the first bit, but it was really dramatic. And the adrenaline was gone.
God,
yeah. And we've caught a tail end of a storm. I think that was Storm Alley in the Borders.
Oh.
And that was torrential rain for 2 days.
Oh my goodness. But you didn't hurt yourself. You were lucky, everything was okay.
I got through it unscathed, you know, with a few calluses on my hands.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I dropped my mobile phone. That was a tragedy.
Oh, no.
In the Thames. Dropped my mobile phone in the Thames. I was climbing up the kayak, and I hear this ploop.
And
I look down, and the phone was sinking to the bottom.
Oh, my goodness.
After all that work, the phone went.
Oh, but at least you were sort of somewhere fairly...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the end of the world.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it could have been.
But, you know, you rely so much on your phone. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah,
you know, I had all my music on there.
Oh,
audio books, things like that. Oh. But it's all been retrieved, so... Could be worse.
Oh, my
God. And that's what I used to think, you know, when things got really hard and physical, which they really did, at some points, you know, I had to drag my kayak around a huge moorland called Rannoch Moor because there was just no waterways, there was no paths to put the kayak on the trolley, so I had to physically drag the boat and all the gear for the best part of 2 days.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was really, really physical and really mentally challenging. And the thing I always had in my head was, you know, if it gets really bad, just think of how, you know, the guys had it in World War One. You know, think of it. It can never be as bad as that.
Yeah.
So, and that's what used to drive me on.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Now, I know you run Northern Boot Camp in Northumberland, so your wife and children were holding the fort there. Now, the boot camp is it along the Bamborough coast, near the Bamborough Castle?
Pretty much, yeah. So the Northumberland coast, you've got Bamborough Castle, and we're based just about 3 miles west of that. In a stunning location, and we run residential fitness, weight loss and adventure camps.
That sounds awesome. That sounds
it's
amazing.
Great. I love it, and I can't wait to get back to work, actually.
So you've been resting, have you? And obviously doing lots of, you know, publicity and you're busy, yeah.
Busy with that, getting a presentation together. So when we have the raffle next Sunday, I'm going to give a bit of a talk and have a bit of a slideshow.
Yeah.
So get all the best pictures up there and give people an insight to what I've been doing.
Are you still elated? I mean, do you think you'll miss it? Or how do you feel now it's over?
It's strange, you know. It's strange not moving.
It must have taken a lot of planning, did it? Yeah.
It did. It took a lot of planning. You know, best part of a year.
Yeah.
Maybe even more, you know. Yeah. Going out, because it's such a big route.
Mm.
You've got to get out and check places out. You just can't really go off what it says on the map. I mean, I wasn't physically able to check the whole route, but there was a lot of that done, you know, going out, designing the trolley, that was a big, big thing, you know, making a specialised trolley to put the kayak on.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, getting all the food, raising the money for the, you know, finding sponsors.
Yeah.
But I'm so pleased that I took the time to plan because you know, it did go to plan, pretty much.
Fantastic. Now, I know, obviously, everyone's super proud of you, and you've managed to do this just before your 40th birthday.
Yeah.
But what I loved was the fact that your wife was just... I mean, obviously, she was chuffed that you were home, but she just really wanted you to shave that beard off.
Yeah. She's every day now, she's like, I just need that beard to go.
Oh, you still got it?
Still got it. It's hanging on in there. We did a little sort of vote... You know, save the beard or shave the beard. But there's more people for save the beard, actually, at the minute. So we're going to have 2 buckets at the auction. And you know, you can put whatever you want in one bucket to save it and the other one in to save it. So we'll just see. But I think ultimately it's got to go in the end.
Yeah, the wife wins, I think.
The wife keep a marriage. Yeah.
Well, Dan, I mean, just huge congratulations. It was a fantastic achievement. What an adventure. And doing it for such a worthy, worthy cause. And really remembering everybody, like you say, from the First World War that, you know, gave their lives for us. So, I mean, it is a really poignant thing to do. And people, I'm going to give, obviously, it's paddleofbritain.com if anyone wants to have a look at any photos or footage of your, you know, your escapades and if they want to donate or it's all on there, isn't it?
And the Facebook page as well. That's really current. All the pictures are on there pretty much. And I think the Facebook page is Dan Smith's Paddle of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a link from the website onto that.
Brilliant.
And you can see exactly what I've been up to from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, I've had a look at it and it is amazing. So thank you so much for talking to us today. It's been really fun talking to you. I might even come and visit your boot camp. You never know.
Please do. You'd love it.
I don't think I would. Sounds like a Blue Peter challenge to me. But thank you so much. And best of luck with raising that money. Let's get to £25,000.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome, Dan. Nice chatting to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.